God knows. He knows. No one needs to teach him about human nature and how pathetic my nature is. And if I don't put things in there to remind myself, I will slip back. And so today he comes. He comes and we obviously hear zeal for his father's house, and the church puts in the first reading, the Ten Commandments. So obviously the first three of those commandments is about the Father, about God. And he is taking that one he's taking it right to the people and to the Pharisees particularly, charging them with this sin against that first commandment and turning his father's house into a marketplace. But then we hear the second reading speak about signs, and so there's a second element in the gospel that deals with that. In Paul's second reading, he speaks of the fact that Jews look for signs, Greeks for wisdom, but the cross is all, that the Lord will, or how does Paul say it specifically, say, we proclaim Christ crucified. That's what we proclaim. And so we hear Jesus say in the gospel that here are people who began to believe in him, but he would not trust them. Why? Because they believed in him for what reason? Because of the signs. Because of the signs. And we heard Jesus say in other places, this generation is a generation that just seeks signs. So again, Paul is addressing that. So we got a couple of things going on in this gospel today. Jesus is calling them out for not living the commandments, and he will not entrust themselves just because they're following, or because all they're following him for is the signs that he shows. So how do we put this together? Well, always it's most easy to see it illustrated in a story. And there's a story, and I think I've talked about this woman before to you. If I haven't, I'd be surprised because I talk about her a lot. Teresa of Calcutta. So much she showed us as a sign to us of what and how to live. Here she was, a woman whom, has anybody seen the movie The Letters or heard of her story? Who for 50 years lived in a darkness. A darkness void of one thing, signs. She had received a great mystical sign in a train ride while she was in India, and I don't remember exactly where she was going, but it was before she started her new order, the Sisters of Charity. But before she started that order, she had this sign from God that gave her a great peace in her heart. And from that point on, never again. And she ached so bad for that mystical experience with him again. Never did it come. But if you look at her life, and we did, and before these letters, and the whole understanding of that movie is that they're the letters that she was sending to her spiritual director, that she said, burn them. Nobody will understand. Burn them. Don't let anybody see. But her spiritual director, he knew better. He held on to them. After she died, she can't speak anymore. Here they are. And so we were opened into her life and the pain and the suffering that she never felt, never saw, never received another sign like that again. And yet, do we have any question that she loved? Does anybody question her love for the poor, and especially the most hard to love, the destitute, the sick, the rotting, the stinking people on the streets that everybody else wouldn't touch? She especially loved them. So there was no doubt in her heart about her love. And so how does that illustrate what Jesus is doing today and what he's asking or what he's leading them to? He turns over the tables, the money changers' tables. You see, all of us cling to things. And when Jesus shows up, all of us, if we let him in, the first thing he does, and this is why we don't want to let him in, he turns the money changing tables over. In my heart, He turns over all the things that I've clung to, and I don't want that. And that's what he's doing today to the Pharisees. What is Jesus actually calling them out for? Again, they're not living the commandments, the Ten Commandments. It's very simple. We look for signs. You know, tell me more and I'll follow that. He says, no, you've got the signs. They're the commandments. And you're not keeping them. And we could go through every one of them. Honor your father and your mother. We remember he chastises them for what he said, korban, meaning when somebody, the temple chiefs and the Pharisees in the temple said, oh, if someone doesn't want to give their money to their parents, as long as they give it to the temple, as long as they give it to us, that's fine, you can call it korban. And Jesus calls them out. That is not keeping. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not kill. He attacks the teaching eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. He says, no, you must love your enemy. Turn your cheek. They slap you on one, give them the other. Turns over that lie, that unwillingness to live the Ten Commandments and the justifications that they all. Thou shalt not commit adultery. He taught that even to look at a woman or a woman to a man and lust after that one is adultery. It's already adultery. And John Paul II even opened it up even further, even for a husband to look to at his wife and to see her as just a thing to use is like adultery with his own wife. So Jesus is challenging them in all of, you can go through all of them and see something where Jesus challenged every one of those Ten Commandments. They were not living them. They were speaking them. And again, John Paul II gives us this great, great aspect on this in his anthropology that we call theology of the body. He tried to distinguish between ethic and ethos. Ethic being, okay, that's the law. Ethos is, I've assimilated the law. I don't even need to hear it anymore because I live it. I live it. And that was Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa did not need signs anymore. She wanted them. She did not need a sign like the Pharisees. Give us a sign and we'll follow you. She did not need that. She knew what God was asking her to do. One thing, live the law. And remember, Jesus takes the 10 and breaks them down to 2. And he says, all 10 are in these 2. Love God your Father with all of your being and love your neighbor as yourself. That's all the laws put together in 2. And she did that. She loved her neighbor. She was the law and personified so that we look at her and we say, she loves. She loves. And she needed no sign. She loved not counting the cost. And that's why Jesus comes to us and turns over the tables. And it ain't easy when he does it. I know he's found a few tables inside of me, and I don't like when they get turned over. And they are anything I cling to other than the true law, other than the way I'm supposed to act, the way I'm supposed to love that other. And why do I usually break the law? Well, because somebody else broke it first against me. And I justify myself to treat them that way, to treat them eye for an eye. And Jesus says, nope, that is not me. And he'll keep coming back if I let those tables get built back up and the coins start to stack. He seems to find a way to get back in there and throw them over. So let him turn them over. Take that, like Mother Teresa, with the ache of, you know, wanting more of a sign, but not stopping if that table gets turned over, from loving, from doing what he has asked. And that is, in a sense, what a vocation is. We're going to talk to the young people tonight. That's what a vocation is. What are we struggling with more than anything, this culture? And I don't mean this generation. We can't say, oh, tag the kids and say they got it. Where do they get it from? They get it from me, my generation, and the generation before me. We have a lack of commitment, a lack of desire to live this law, unless we get signs from God, or the other person lives the law first. Then I'll live the law. That is not what Jesus is teaching us. So in the end, what gives us the strength to live it? He does. Why? And then we go back to Paul. Paul says, we proclaim Christ crucified. Why did he get crucified? Because he lived the Ten Commandments. Because he lived the Ten Commandments, and he called others out to live them. And that's why they killed him. So as long as that's why we get, as long as that's why we feel the pain and our vocation as husband or wife, you know, we live to take care of our spouse, our children, and we get nothing out of it, seems like it's okay. We're living the law. As a priest, I preach all that I can, and you know, nobody seems to understand or they misunderstand what I'm saying. That's okay. I'm living for the love of those who I preach to, not for them to hear me and, you know, congratulate me or anything for me, but for you. And again, how does he free us today? He did not come to throw out the law, to free us from the law. He came, rather, to take away the fear of keeping the law, so that we will actually not even need anymore. We will become the law, like Mother Teresa. And though we may be aching on the inside for something more, that will not keep me from loving and doing my part for the other.